This is a free Off The Ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan and lots more, become an Off The Ball member today.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off The Ball's Football Daily.
Welcome along to Wednesday's Football Daily. I'm David Wilson. Coming up today, PSG and Aston Villa meet in the UEFA Super Cup final tonight in Salzburg. Arne Slot turns down the Dutch national team job as he aims to stay in club football. And Keith Andrews looks to kick on as Brentford boss with the Premier League season just over a week away. Aston Villa are in Austria preparing for a Super Cup showdown with European champions Paris Saint-Germain tonight. The match pits last season's Champions League and Europa League winners against each other. Villa have qualified for Europe's top competition this time, and captain John McGinn says they can keep on improving.
A lot of people thought we had reached our ceiling a couple of seasons ago, and we proved them wrong. We've still got the same hunger and desire to go and achieve more. And as long as we've got the hunger and desire to do that, the Aston Villa fans can expect as much as possible.
Paris Saint-Germain boss Luis Enrique says Bradley Barcola could play despite interest from Liverpool. However, the coach didn't sound confident about keeping hold of him.
I don't know. Don't want to speak about any player individually because always dangerous when you are asking something positive or negative about a player, and I stay focused on my team.
Meanwhile, the loss of Morgan Rodgers to Chelsea has led to some question Villa's ambition. Manager Unai Emery says that things have only improved since he took over the helm.
Since I arrived here 4 years more or less, and of course I am so happy how we are responding, how the players are responding, how the club, how the supporters, how we are building everything, how we are trying to develop, getting better.
Kickoff is at 8 o'clock. James McLean took part in an open Derry City training session yesterday, despite rumours he is set to depart his hometown club. On the football show last night, football writer Kevin McLaughlin joined Owen Sheehan to talk all things McLean and the situation that is currently ongoing between the club and player.
Luke has been in touch on WhatsApp, 087-980-180 is our number, to say, I think the post of him watching Wrexham instead of Derry City last Friday was the straw that broke the camel's back. How did that go down, the Instagram story of him watching Wrexham?
Listen, that was picked up by everybody. And that's the big thing, you know, what we were led to believe. Obviously, the announcement of Tiernan came on Wednesday. James was at training on Wednesday. The announcement came after the training. So when James was leaving the Owen Begg training facility, he said something to a couple of reporters who talked about it today on local radio station up here. He said, listen, I've been offered to retire. And at the time, they didn't know if this is a tongue-in-cheek or a James just making a joke. And because everything that was going on with Tiernan took centre stage, nobody sort of picked up on anything. But then there was reports coming out that he may not have attended training on the Thursday. And then the Friday night is, well, that's James McLean's night when he was playing with Wrexham, playing with Sunderland, playing with anybody. He was watching Derry City every week. So for him then to put on Instagram last Friday night that he's sitting in the house and watching his former club Wrexham play Middlesbrough in the Carabao Cup, that says a massive story to supporters, and everybody's going, here, there's something not right here.
What do you think actually happens next year? Like, I'd imagine McLean will be able to dig the heels in here for as long as he wants, but is there a case that actually that retirement piece does just come into view for him?
Well, this could be it. Like, you know, James knows himself with the injury that he had, he possibly was going to possibly have to retire just before the Shamrock Rovers game earlier this season when Derry went to Celtic Park. And obviously broke on the Thursday night, James put on Instagram he was going to London to see a specialist. You know, we don't know the whole ins and outs of that report, but by all accounts he got the thumbs up that he could play on. But we don't know how long. You know, it could be a case of could Derry City maybe give James, right, listen, Tiernan's gone, we're going to keep it going the end of the season. And James maybe just says to himself, listen, I can't continue. This has given me too much bother. No one knows. And unfortunately at the minute, that's the problem, because no one knows. It's just going to keep rumbling on. But you're right, he may have just retired at the end of the season. And to be honest, he probably gracefully then, and people would have been quite happy with that and says, right, fair to you, and maybe help Derry win an FAI Cup, because, you know, people are forgetting it. their biggest game of the season takes place this Friday against UCD.
And that is available for you to listen back to for free now in your OTB Football podcast feed. Writer and broadcaster Dion Fanning joined Owen on the news round as well last night. He says that his homecoming could have gone so much better.
There is a parallel universe where he's, you know, this has worked out. He's made a great career for himself, and this was like, you know, this wasn't a kind of, you know, this was a romantic move rather than something that's kind of central or, you know, like a real building block or a block to kind of secure his career. But it's just it's sad that this, you know, that's the direction the story has taken. When you think of what beyond, like, you know, the last few months and the last few days, beyond, like, what it could have been, what the story could have looked like. And as I said, I think Irish football, the League of Ireland, needs those stories. Like, there is no, we know how things have improved, although, you know, we're even looking recently at story, you know, talking about, like, attendances, like, flatlining a little bit, stuff like that. It's not, like, there is no guarantee that Irish football is going to kind of continue on the upward curve that we saw in recent years. It needs a lot more. Like, James McLean on his own wasn't going to save it or ensure that anyway. But there is a parallel universe where he's, you know, this has worked out. This has gone brilliantly, and people's imaginations are captured by it in a way that they were captured by, the imaginations were captured by, you know, the Jamie and Duff Shelburne story. And that's really important still for League of Ireland, because, you know, it still needs to reach beyond. Like, it's created, you know, a huge amount of loyalty, not just from, like, the most, like, diehard League of Ireland fans, but a group beyond that. But it still has to move into the area, like, I think, of the sort of the kind of general sports fan or the casual sports fan, like, and capturing their attention in terms of having an investment and caring who wins, like, who does well. Like, and Duff had that. Duff brought that. That sense of, okay, how are Shells doing? How's Damien Duff doing? And like that's just a piece of kind of, I think, a necessary step in the evolution. People mightn't like that, but that's the reality of all successful leagues have that element of, like, soap opera basically to them.
And that is available for you now to listen back to in your OTB Daily podcast feed. Manchester United and Leeds United meet in a pre-season friendly at Croke Park this evening in front of an expected 80,000 people. Yesterday, I caught up with a player who played for both clubs, and Dennis Irwin, out at Carton House, and he recalled his own experiences of the iconic Dublin venue.
Yeah, 80,000 people into Croke Park tomorrow. We don't see too many games of football in Croke Park. Do you have any experience from playing there yourself, or did you attend the games there, obviously, with Cork as well?
No, I played for Cork Schools when I was 11. Against Dublin Schools in hurling, and Mark Niall Quinn, actually, a game finished in a draw, and I won an All-Ireland College's medal there in Gaelic football for Cloyster Creestree back in 1980. So that was a semi-final and a final. So I've played there three times. I've watched Cork on numerous occasions in the hurling finals. I went to watch the Ireland and England game in rugby there when they were doing the new Aviva, yeah. And if memory serves me right, I think it was Ireland and Wales, the soccer game that was there. I might be wrong on that, but definitely.
Yes, another Corkman, Stephen Ireland, scored in that game.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So I was there to watch that. But this is probably the first game, club game, yeah, that's there. So in an iconic stadium. It'd be strange to see how the pitch is laid out again, but it'd be a great atmosphere there. And it sold out in no time at all. And you know, everybody's been asking me for tickets, so it should be a great occasion. But yeah, an iconic venue.
Kickoff at GAHQ is at 7:30. Bohemians have announced the return of striker Paddy Madden to the club, with the player signing on until the end of the season. The 36-year-old returns to Dalymount Park nearly 16 years after making his last appearance for the club. He made his first team debut for Bowes aged 18 against Cove Ramblers in November 2008 and scored 20 goals in 68 appearances. in all competitions during his first spell with the club, winning a league title in 2009 and the Stanta Cup in 2010. After leaving Bowes for Carlisle United in January 2011, Madden racked over 650 first-team appearances in English football, scoring over 200 goals during spells at Yeovil Town, Scunthorpe United, Fleetwood Town and Stockport County. Most recently, he was with Chesterfield and spent last season on loan at Accrington Stanley, an Ireland under-21 international. During his first spell with Bowes, he won his only senior cap against Wales in 2013. Former Liverpool head coach Arne Slot has confirmed he has held talks over the vacant Netherlands job but withdrew because he wants to get his next job in club football. The Dutchman guided the Reds to their 20th league title in his debut season but finished 5th in the Premier League and was sacked on the 30th of May this year. Ronald Koeman stepped down from his second spell as Netherlands manager after they were knocked out of the World Cup by Morocco in the last 32 penalty shootout in June. Slot denied reports he had withdrawn from the talks with the KNVB over a dispute over his contract. Over the past few weeks, and particularly the past few days, various reports have appeared regarding the vacancy at the Dutch national team, suggesting that I had withdrawn from the process after lengthy negotiations, including regarding salary and contract duration, Slot told Voetbal International. The speculation is incorrect. We simply never reached that stage of the talks. Slot, who won the Eredivisie with Feyenoord in 2023, did not rule out taking over the national team in the future. Former Portugal manager Roberto Martinez is now in talks with the KNVB, according to reports in Holland. Sticking with Dutch football, and Memphis Depay has accused Corinthians of unacceptable behaviour and of breaching an agreement after a Brazilian club decided against renewing his contract. The former Manchester United and Barcelona forward joined Corinthians on a two-year deal in 2024, but is now out of contract after he said the club withdrew a previously agreed contract extension. Depay scored 20 goals in 79 appearances for Corinthians and helped them win the Copa do Brasil in 2025 and the Super Copa do Brasil this year. The São Paulo-based club, currently 7th in Brazil's Serie A, said the decision not to extend the 32-year-old's contract was because of finances. Paris Saint-Germain are close to reaching an agreement for Barcelona forward Ferran Torres. The 26-year-old is not expected to resume training with Hansi Flick's side as the two clubs look to finalise a deal, with discussions over transfer fee ongoing. Barcelona are open to selling the forward due to the fact that any renewal of his contract would require a payment of around €8 million to be made to Manchester City, owing to a clause in the deal which saw him join Barca from City for an initial €55 million plus a further €10 million in add-ons in January 2022. It's believed that Barcelona sporting director Deco was reluctant to offer Torres a contract extension because of the financial ramifications the deal could have. Torres' departure means that Barca would lose their two main strikers from last season after Robert Lewandowski also left the club upon the expiry of his contract. Torres scored 21 times in 49 appearances under Flick last season, operating mostly up front but also featuring on either wing. At this summer's World Cup, he was utilised as a substitute by Spain head coach Luis de la Fuente and netted the winning goal in the 106th minute to ensure his nation won back-to-back major international tournaments. Since joining Barcelona, Torres has made 207 appearances, recording 65 goals and 23 assists. He has played a major role in the club's back-to-back La Liga titles, while he also contributed to their league success in the 2022-23 season. Chelsea have completed the signing of left-back Pep Chavarria from Spanish side Rayo Vallecano. The 28-year-old agreed a contract until 2031. Chelsea prioritised the signing of a left-sided defender after Marc Cucurella joined Real Madrid in a €60 million move in June, leaving Yoel Hato as the only recognised left-back in the club's senior squad. Chavarria featured in Rayo's run to last season's Conference League final and played the full 90 minutes as Inigo Perez's side lost 1-0 to Crystal Palace in the decider in Leipzig. He has spent the entirety of his career in Spanish football and made 125 appearances for Rayo since joining from Real Zaragoza in 2022. Brentford boss Keith Andrews is predicting another successful campaign. The Irishman was written off by many when he took his first managerial job a year ago, but thrived, taking the West London club to ninth last season. He survived as many other managers were sacked, and he says that he has some new rivals.
It's quite exciting for the league. You've got some managers that haven't managed in the league before. I was that manager, I suppose, 12 months ago. But no, I'm not sitting here on a lofty perch thinking I've been there and done it with 1 year of management under my belt.
Newcastle United manager Matthias Jeisler is getting to know his new home. Less than a week into the job, the German admits he's still finding his feet. Aside from taking training, Jeisler has had time for a tour of St James's Park and it took his breath away.
And the first feeling when I entered the pitch here with my assistant coaches, we were just looking at each other and with a big smile like I have right now, goosebumps, just really special.
That is about all we have time for on today's Football Daily. I'm David Wilson, and I'll be back with more tomorrow.
Off the Balls, Football Daily.
This is a free Off the Ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan, and lots more, become an Off the Ball member today.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.